This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, would you bring your attention to me for a feast for your eyes to see an explosion of catastrophe?
Starring.
I'm here for it,
bro. I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
I spray a little Pam in there.
Boom.
Boom, boom. Wow. Throw the fajita down for like the fajita for 5 minutes.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen.
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Guy Fieri was making his trash can nachos on the Kelly and Mark Consuela show, and he does use 2 ounces of mild cheddar cheese, 2 ounces of, I don't even know how to say this, Osaka cheese.
Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
Four hearty full size.
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shiny. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Well, get past that.
Talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
Glad he listens to the program. Thanks a lot.
I would like to hear that later on today.
I would love that. Stand up business, bro.
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory.
And I am 100% passing judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of...
You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. You're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill! Yeah. Greg Hill! Go! Yeah. Greg Hill! Show! All right.
Good morning.
What up, my Buenos Aires, Courtney?
Thank you.
Wiggy.
What'd it do?
You were there last night.
I was.
The revenge that Jason Tatum may have been looking for did not come last night at the Boston
Garden. Curry made sure of that one.
Yeah. Still Celtics. Hammered the over.
Celtics lose 118-112 to the Golden State Warriors last night.
It was a good game. Both teams were ice cold in the first half. But towards the end of the game, it was the offensive boards that killed the Celtics. There was a couple possessions late in that game where the Celtics were down by four, and they kept giving up offensive rebounds, which led to, Golden State going up six. And so,
quarter, not first half, though. Golden State was pretty on point in the second quarter.
No, first quarter, they both could throw the ball in the ocean.
Well, yeah, I know. What Celtics have, 41 points in that third quarter, whatever it was?
Yeah.
I mean, Jason Tatum just, I don't know if he struggles when it comes to games, that he puts a lot of pressure on himself or not. I don't know if you felt like he
had, he was off in the first quarter. He was definitely off. He was definitely couldn't find his rhythm. I mean, I don't know. Like,
it was a good night for Courtney. I got to be honest.
How'd you do, Parlay Princess?
I didn't end up putting it in because I was nervous about the actual final score of the game. But my lock for Tatum's over hit, and then my lock for the over totals at 225 hit.
Yeah,
I wasn't saying about her betting.
You made money.
I didn't end up betting.
Well, so they weren't your lock.
Like, right.
I said it on the station that it was a lock. Okay. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, but if you're so are you. You're handing out wagering tips, and then you're not wagering on them yourself?
Right.
That doesn't seem fair.
Right.
I'm just saying, if you took the over for Tatum and you took the over for points, you won.
Well, my parlay was, how would I say, doo-doo in the first minute of the game. I had two parlays going, and I had Tatum first bucket for the Celtics on one of them, and I had Derek White. First bucket for the Celtics.
Yeah.
You don't think like, all right, those two guys score early, score first. They come up with a design play to get Nemeas, an alley-oop dunk for the first bucket of the game.
Honestly, he is fantastic, though.
Yeah, no, he's done a good job. And I'm like, he's the first guy that scores.
He had an unbelievable block in that in the fourth quarter.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There was a sequence in that same quarter where he had the layup, he missed the layup, and then he got back to back boards.
Yeah.
And finally put it in.
Yep.
Like, Kata is...
He's doing good.
In general, like, I don't know how Brad Stevens does it, but he finds these guys when it comes to the others.
Yeah.
That put you in a position when you're without Jaylen Brown and without Porzingis.
Right.
And that you're in that game all the way with the Golden State Warriors.
Hillman jinx all day, though.
Why? On what?
Who did we talk about all? Yes.
I mean,
it was one of those things where he couldn't throw the ball in the ocean, but we talked about Pete Pritch. Yeah. Wasn't it yesterday like sixth man of the year? And then, because if you had him.
Still had 16 points.
No, I know, but I think he was like 3 of 11 from 3-point land.
He didn't hit the glory shot from half court, if that's what bothered you.
But if he's normal Pete Pritch, you probably win this game. But he had a bad game.
Same with Drew Holiday. He couldn't hit anything.
Yeah, I'm not going to look at this and be like, oh, I'm nervous about the Celtics now.
Joe Mazzulla occasionally bothers me, and I know that you've told me that he's the best coach in the NBA, and I take your word for it, but... They had 35 seconds last night, and he had the timeouts.
Right.
He doesn't I would call a timeout and try to design something where you're getting where you have a shot from three, as opposed to what they did, which was get the ball down there, and Tatum took it, and you know, Tatum went to the basket and he got two. But
he was pissed, Mazzulla, because of that dumb foul by Derek White. They were down by four.
I thought that was a good challenge, though, on his part. Is that what you're talking about?
No. They were down by four, and Derek White tried to kind of, like, poke it out the back
He challenged that.
And he fouled. No, he fouled. He challenged the fight over the pick one.
No, he challenged Derek White coming around. The foul was called on Derek White on Steph Curry.
No, I'm not talking about that.
He was challenging the screen prior to that.
No, I'm talking about towards the end. It was like 40 seconds left in the game. Golden State had the ball. They were dribbling it up, and Derek White tried to like poke the ball from the dribbler out from behind, and then it was Draymond Green, and then he got called for the foul, and then Draymond went to the line and hit both free throws. He was pissed because he was like, we're only down by four. There's 40-something seconds left. Don't foul. Play defense. If we get a great stop, go down. Now we can either hit a three to put us within one or hit a two. And when he fouled him, he sent Draymond to the line, which made the game six. And he was livid about that foul.
Because
it was just like, him trying to make a play, but it turned into a bonehead foul.
This is Mike from Connecticut. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, everyone. So last night's game was frustrating, but, you know, in the end, the Celtics are going to be okay. I don't think anybody in the East is going to compete with them. Look at Milwaukee's record. Look at Philly's record. But with that being said, in the West, don't be surprised the Warriors make it. They showed last night how to beat the Celtics defensively, and that's a recipe that other teams could use. But with that, also, since the Warriors let Klay Thompson go, they're a much faster and more defensive team. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, Wiggins, I thought, did a really good job on Jason Tatum. In fact, I think I don't think Jason Tatum scored in the fourth quarter until there were 3 minutes left or whatever. So, but again, like, it's hard for me to say anything bad about the Celtics when they're without Kristaps Porzingis
and Jalen
Brown last
night. It's going to come.
Well, they're underachieving, according to you, Greg. 82-0 and 2 losses in the first 10 games.
Curtis, well, I had that big. It was on the table. It was briefly on the table.
Like the sliders in front of Wiggy.
That's all right. 80-2 still good. Correct. We'll take that.
But what I said earlier about Courtney having a good night had nothing to do with betting. I think it has to do with the fact that the alpha really does take up and remove the spotlight or the focus on Jason Tatum.
Like, great point.
I really think that if Jalen Brown plays in that game, they win, and that Tatum plays much better because the guy that is there to have his back, to take the slings and arrows, to avoid double teams, is Jalen Brown. And I really, I mean, it just struck me when Tatum started cold, you're watching that game last night, that Wiggy, I think, is a little too high on what Tatum is without Jalen Brown.
But they still double team him, even when Jalen's there.
I'm just explaining my perspective.
But part of your perspective is the double team. But when Jalen's still there, they still run a double at Tatum.
I think Curtis is talking more
about what?
More about the mental aspect of
the energy, too.
The energy, the confidence part of it. I hesitate to say anything bad about Jason Tatum because he won his championship and he's a phenomenal basketball player. But I just think he puts... the only way I can say it is he puts pressure on himself at times and doesn't respond the way you're hoping that he's going to respond.
Oh, is that we going down this road
we're
again?
Not coach, we're allowed to go down
but
any
what
road
is the pressure?
Do you think he put pressure on himself to have an unbelievable game and to show up Steve Kerr last night?
No, did you hear him after the game
that? Yes, I heard what he said. So that was not... that was not in his mind one tiny iota last night, was having an unbelievable game while Steve Kerr was in the building.
Based on what he said last night,
but Wiggy, come on.
What?
I mean, there are certain players where you say, well, what do you expect him to say? But then when it comes to Tatum, you're going to take him at his word.
He's still at a 30-piece.
I agree.
So I guess if he put pressure on himself, he still went out there and did his job. It was one of those.
I just think the other day you said a pretty big statement where you said if Jalen Brown wasn't on this team, the team's basically still going to win a championship.
See, there you go. No, I said if the... There you go.
There
selective
she goes.
Listening. I said if...
If Jalen...
Wow. I'll tell you, that's
go
why...
Go ahead. What'd you say?
I said if Jalen Brown wasn't on this team, I think that Tatum would take them further... Versus if it was just Jalen without Jason.
You said that Mazzulla is more important than Jalen Brown, and I'm not kidding.
No, yes. I said that if I had to pick between the two.
Right, that's what that means.
No, but if you heard what Courtney said...
I think if you were to pull the audio, it's a bit different than what you just said.
If you pull the audio, it's exactly what I said. Okay, said that... This team goes, if you listen, I said this team goes...
I always listen
no,
to
No, you
him.
Don't. Clearly,
yep,
you don't.
I do.
I said this team would go further with just... Tatum running it versus if it was just Jalen Brown. That was what I said. And I did say that, if I had to choose if I had to say, all right, Mazzulla or Brown, Curtis Charette, I probably would lean Mazzulla because you could probably find another player that might not give you what Brown could give you, but Mazzulla could get the best out of him. So listen to what I say.
Okay.
That's all I say. Oh, if you, I'll do you one better. You ain't got to listen, but at least repeat what I said in the right way.
Okay.
I remember it quite differently. I quite differently.
No, you don't. Sean, you got it?
I don't have random clip from a random point in time that's randomly referenced.
Well, I know what I said.
All right. Well, we're off to an interesting start.
Well, you guys brought it up.
I understand.
Jalen Brown had a great jacket on last night.
Fighting about whether it's Jalen or Jason is is better than fighting about the election. Oh, so
I'd rather fight about the election than Jalen and Jason, to be honest with you.
Well, what an absolute turd Steve Kerr is. God, is he such a dink. Did anybody like wake up saying, you know what, I really need Steve Kerr to lecture us today about the election?
There may be some, but I don't know that any of them live in this region, Curtis, in the region we are broadcasting.
And I don't know if he knows this, but he talked about like mocking Trump, which should be mocked, about 2020 and not accepting the results. But he said, well, he said 6 extra people voted illegally and all this stuff. Well, if you look at the total votes in 2020 and 2024, there's a lot of people that voted in 2020 that all of a sudden disappeared. So it's not exactly a statement I think he would be wanting to make at this juncture.
Yeah, no, I was excited yesterday because I'm finally included when those that are complaining about the election suggest that it is those who are not college educated who screwed up their candidate's chance to win this one. So I feel like, wait a second, they're talking about me. I get excited about that.
I think that you know much more than a lot of college educated.
Courtney, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the one of the ladies on the View's point?
Yes, it was. Yes.
I can't believe she said, show's still on. Isn't it like Equality of Men? How come there's no men on that show? Where's our equal rights?
I think the whole program is designed to just be cackling hens.
Well, why don't they call it cackling hens rather than The View?
They should call it that.
Because I feel like there's
that would be a great name.
There's a misrepresentation of the male voice on that show.
I tuned in for that because I wanted to hear what I wanted to see. The absolute panic and world is ending the expressions of those that are on that show, and the argument that one of them, I don't even know who any of them are other than
Whoopi.
Joy Behar and Whoopi, but one of them was suggesting that the issue for them is that we need to do away with social media because social media is brainwashing people when it comes to voting, which is the most ridiculous.
Stupid.
Without social media,
right,
and without some podcasts in which you actually get to hear what the real truth is in this country, there would be people who would have listened to the legacy media and only the legacy media and would have absolutely no idea what is going on. So that take was as bad as the queso take from Shime on this show yesterday.
That my take on queso was very right. And there have been a lot of people that support that take.
And Shime and I talk about this all the time. It really grinds my gears when people who clearly don't know how social media works talk about social media and the fact that we need
to do away
with
it. Seems like a shot at
Ken. Well, your words, not mine. But it's frustrating because if you don't know how social media works, the more you consume, the more you're given that side, whether you're right, whether you're left, whatever you're watching, whatever you're consuming, whatever you're engaging with, you're going to be served more of that.
But
so,
you got to be a moron if you don't know how social media works in today's society.
Wow.
And if that was...
Van Pelt doesn't know how social media works.
If that was 5 men on a show doing what The View do, they would be absolutely destroying it. I call for equal rights for men on The View.
Let's be honest. They'd be talking about food or sex.
I would like to see a male on there.
That's the problem. That if it were guys, it would be one of two topics.
Right.
And maybe sports. Sports.
You know what I realized, Greg? It's that, like fashion, Courtney's the fashion person here, like things that were in style in the 80s come back in style in like the early 2020s.
Sports.
I feel like political perspectives like recycle between both parties. Like the Democrats have become the old Republicans and the Republicans have become the old Democrats.
Yeah.
The Democrats want censorship. They want to control the news. They're the party of the billionaires and the elites. And now the Republicans are the party of like the common man. It's wild.
They used to have nearly every single news outlet doing their bidding for them, so they didn't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people have smartened up, and they realize that in a lot of cases, you're being fed a lot of bunk from the whether it's the newspapers or the national news outlets or whatever. So they don't. There are some who find themselves frustrated by that because they don't control the message anymore.
So the people's mouths can be turned upwards in a smile.
That's correct. Yes. All right. Speaking of smiling, we will intend do our very best to do that for you at some point this morning. We are going to get to our leads in about 10 minutes at around 6:30. And then Bill O'Brien will join us at 6:45. He is the head coach of Boston College football. They said it at 7. We will go over what Jason Tatum said about the Green Teamers having at Steve Kerr at the Boston Garden last night and other things at 7. News at 7:45 with Courtney and Mike Milbury will join us on a Bruins Thursday at 9. Speaking of Courtney, here she is right now with what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Celtics fall to the Warriors at home, 118-112, the final from the TD Garden. Jason Tatum led the way with 32 points, while Derek White had a good game with 26 points in the loss. The second quarter was a rough one for the Seas, but they came back after halftime with a fight. Here's what Joe Mazzulla had to say about what changed between the second and the third.
Nimi did a great job just getting us offensive rebounds, getting us extra possessions. We got out in transition. Just execution. I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of just executing and making the shot. So I thought we missed some two-on-one reads in the first half. We found those in the second half and gave us a chance.
He's also, I get load management, but he's also a little bit culpable for sitting Jason Tatum for an extended period of time in that second half last night.
4 minutes.
I would have liked to see him in that.
And he was hot when he benched him.
Yeah.
The Bruins welcome the Flames to the TD Garden tonight. Puck drop is at 7. And Thursday Night Football, the Bengals are at the Ravens. Game time at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on EEI. Any betting advice, Shime, on this one?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards all the overs here. I'm not sure exactly which one I want to lock in yet, but the last time these two teams played, they scored upwards of like 70-plus points. I would expect something similar since the Ravens are giving up the second most explosive plays in football. And Joe Burrow, outside of week one, has quietly been one of the better quarterbacks in football this year.
Yeah, good game tonight.
Yep. Sticking in the NFL, tough news for the Cowboys. Dak Prescott's hamstring tendon has partially pulled away from his bone. He has not been placed on IR yet, but those close to the situation say that it's only a matter of time, and they believe he'll be out for more than 4 weeks for this type of injury.
Oh, boy.
Cowboys are done.
Yeah.
Great. Now I have to have turkey for Thanksgiving. You pull it away from the bone.
Oh, is that what that is?
You pull a lot of different meats away from the bone, though, Greg.
Thanksgiving's on my mind. Sorry.
I like it.
All right.
It's the number one eating holiday of the year. Discuss.
So do you go
that is
from...
True.
Yes.
No disagreement.
What else is in the running?
There's nothing.
No,
Christmas is pretty big eating.
No.
Greg's
no,
right. Thanksgiving's number there's one. Not even anything close. No.
The next closest might be 4th of July cookouts.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I can rock with you on that one.
Pretty good.
Back when we had a country.
Everyone's buzzing about Sugar Bee apples now on sale at Shaw's and Star Market. Yes, Sugar Bee apples are just 97 cents a pound when you use the digital coupon. That's limited to 5 pounds. Short on time, order free curbside pickup or get delivery. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Thank you, Shine, for talking about that bet for quite some time because I had two big sneezes during that trending and I was very stressed.
I'm always here to filibuster for you, Courtney.
Thank you so much. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
56 degrees, mostly cloudy afternoon high, sunny in the upper 60s.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune
I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
We got it. Chime, thank you. Well done.
Such a good song.
You know what rejoin I may require this morning based on what potentially may occur in the National Football League this week? Do you know what rejoin I might need this morning, Chime?
It's going to be May by by NSYNC?
Nope. It is Return of the Mac. Return of the Mac at some point.
A little Mock Morrison?
Okay, I would like that later on this morning, if I could, okay, please.
Sure. Is he playing? I missed this.
Well, there's, Trevor Lawrence is experiencing some tightness.
All right.
In his non-throwing shoulder. He'll be fine.
Could be a little redemption weekend for one Mac 10, Curtis.
All right.
So just to get you to wet your whistle here, Greg.
Yeah.
Should Mac start and win and complete the game and the Patriots lose in Chicago,
yes,
Mac Jones would have more wins this season than Drake May.
Yeah, he's not. First of all, he's not going to start. Second of all, he's not going to beat the Vikings. Third of all, Mac Jones stinks.
There was no lie detected, and what I just said is a potential possibility.
Same here.
Well, we're offering for one weekend only a discount visit to the island. One weekend only.
The Mac is back.
Yeah, have fun drowning in a place that doesn't exist.
We will be joined by Bill O'Brien in about 15 minutes. Right now, though, we should get right to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Great one, Chime, from Jeff Lynne and the Electric Light Orchestra. Your lead this morning?
Yeah, good morning, Greg. The Boston Celtics lost last night to the Golden State Warriors, and I think it's becoming more apparent to me that Wiggy was wrong. Joe Mazzulla is not the best coach in basketball. There is certain times where his decision-making can come into question, whereas I even think that Steve Kerr, as much as he might be a douche, is probably a better coach than Joe Mazzulla.
Whoa.
Like, there's times...
Shots fired.
Stop it.
Like, you can even see it.
Stop it.
You can even see it. So, first of all, Wiggy, like, that Warriors team is not nearly as talented as the Celtics team, first of all.
Nope.
Secondly, I think one of the things that I noticed, too, especially when Jason Tatum immediately hits a three, feels like he's going to start rolling, Steve Kerr, immediate timeout. Zero hesitation. One three, boom, timeout. Like, let's stop this right in its tracks. Let's kind of reset, figure some things out. I'm never going to use the word worried because the Celtics team is too good. But, Wiggy, Joe Mazzulla, not the best coach in basketball.
What did he do that he did? So, to give me a specific, he didn't call a timeout after Steph Curry hit a three-pointer?
Bench Tatum.
Yeah, I think you held Tatum on the bench too long in a game that you probably could have won, especially without Jalen Brown. I don't know.
So that's it, really it.
Jordan Walsh doesn't need to be playing 8 minutes in this game.
Well, I mean, he's stretching out his bench, clearly.
Like in a game like this, I don't think you need to, Wiggy. It's another 6-1 team. Uh-huh. I think it was a win that could have been good for you going forward.
I mean, Golden State's a talented team. I don't know.
They're good, but they're not like the best of the West.
Some good shooters, though.
Right.
Buddy Hield has been good.
Buddy Hield was on last night.
Yeah, he was on.
They're probably better defensively than a lot of the teams that you've seen so far this year, especially with a guy like Wiggins kind of leading that charge. But this isn't OKC. This isn't Denver. Like, this is a team you should be able to beat.
Okay. Shine, thank you.
You're welcome.
Shots fired at Coach Wiggins. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry. I'm going to do another quick lead on the election because it is a massive story, the biggest thing that happened in the world this week.
Don't apologize.
Two things. One, I would like to celebrate and pour one out for the demise and the death of celebrity endorsements.
Mm.
Goodbye. So long. Auf Wiedersehen. That and the reaction to the Trump election has cemented why Donald Trump wins, despite the fact that he is a small man, raging narcissist, and a massive DB. It's not that America voted for him. It's that one candidate was critiquing everything about you, only talking about the things you can't control, as in your gender and sexuality. And the other guy said, I want businesses to thrive. I want things to work well. And he only got 50.1% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an indictment on anything other than people don't want to talk about what they cannot control. They want to know how you can fix what it is in your life that is broken, whether it's the high interest rates, whether it's unemployment, whether it's wages not maintaining with inflation.
The groceries costing 21% more than they did just a few years ago, yes.
The Boston Globe editorial page yesterday actually mocked those that complained about the high cost of eggs. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yes, Adrian Walker called me yesterday. Go read it. Or if you don't have to, don't. But the at the end of it, I just would love to say, I watched MSNBC yesterday before Kamala's concession speech. And for 25 minutes, 16 people on this panel only talked about white women, blaming white women, talking about the sexuality of certain voters, the color of this group.
They continue to suggest that people who voted for one candidate are uneducated. It's a giant insult to a large part of the country, and why mm-hmm. they think that is going to work for them is beyond me.
Yeah.
It honestly reminded me, the reaction yesterday, to the national media reaction over the summer to the Celtics win, where it's like, they just don't get why the Celtics are so good. They just keep talking about these flaws of the Celtics won the championship. I'm watching this yesterday, and it's like, is this every day? All you do is sit around and talk about things you can't change? When everybody wants a change, you're talking about the race and gender of the people who are voting instead of the ideas and what they're going to do. It was shocking to me.
No, I think I brought this up yesterday. The tried and true remains that way. And America, I think a portion of America, voted themselves a raise on Tuesday, and that's what they are most interested in.
Things that affect them and affect their wallet.
It's pretty basic. It's pretty simple. Things that they deal with every single day, not what ifs and what might be's.
And the exact quote from Adrian Walker, I just want to read this, met in the Globe yesterday. Many will rush to attribute Harris's defeat to the sluggish economy, the apparently unbearable agony of high-priced eggs.
Ugh.
Like, what in the Boston Globe is writing that?
Well, eggs are expensive, though.
Right, he's mocking you for feeling that way.
Cardi B told us that.
Yeah, Cardi B did tell us that.
But this is what you get when you these, and it happens here on this, in this bubble that we live in, where these highly educated, elitist donkeys think that they should dictate how you feel and laugh at you while they're doing it. It's so ridiculous.
Can I ask a question that's not like supposed to be an argument at all? I'm sure genuinely asking.
Go ahead.
Curtis and Greg, like, where am I going to see the raise? Like, will I see it immediately? Where is it going to come into my paycheck?
I would suggest that you would pay less when it comes to what is, or you will have less taken out of your paycheck. I would virtually guarantee that this president will find a way to get those prices down at the grocery stores because he's promised you that. So the paycheck thing,
the only reason I ask is because then sometimes you will hear, well, you will only see it affect you if you're making, you know, $500,000 plus or $600,000 plus. So for somebody who's making less than that, mm-hmm. you aren't going to see a big change.
Yeah, I don't know what you get taken out of your paycheck or not. Is more taken out now than it was when Donald Trump was president? Have you taken a look at
that? I don't know, because I'm in such a different bracket than I was when Donald Trump was president.
Oh. So you must be in the bracket that you're talking about, where you will see. If that's the only people who get a discount, then you'll get the discount.
You just have to look at the tax brackets and how they change.
I'm just saying what I was making at Nesson is much different than what I was making here, but it's still not that number that keeps coming across you know, whatever I'm reading, saying that those that group will be the ones that.
Well, I think it's just, you know, would you say that?
Again, not trying to argue, the question genuinely.
I guess I would come back and ask you then, why do you think that the majority of Americans voted for Donald Trump if it wasn't a race?
No, I agree with you. I think that is why people voted for him. I just want to know if it's actually going to happen. Because for me, when I'm reading certain things, it doesn't seem like I fall into the category of somebody that's going to see the big effects in my paycheck.
Well, a lot of times you won't even notice, like, depending on the president. A lot of times they say a lot of things and nothing does happen.
And so I think one of the ways too, Courtney, is it's not necessarily directly in your paycheck, but by the way, like, gas prices come down, you're saving money in that regard.
Yeah, like Chime's right about that. Like, gas prices obviously were a little bit lower when Trump was in office versus when Biden was office, or even
that's why we were focused on being energy independent during that administration, and there are opposing views on that, but that Donald Trump wanted the country to be able to rely on its own oil supply. So
and Courtney, those are great questions that you should ask.
You most likely won't have to pay if you want to get a vehicle. You most likely won't be limited on the kind of vehicle that you have to buy and how much you'll have to pay for that vehicle based on the fact that it is electric or solar powered or wind powered or whatever. You might be able to buy a gasoline vehicle going forward.
The only thing I would say, Greg, and you probably know better than any of us in here, is that maybe what happens is, you know, you always hear Trump talking about how he wants to give companies tax breaks, so big companies, and what that ends up means, maybe it puts more money in their pocket, which then they're able to trickle down to you when it comes to new contracts or things of that nature.
Because they have more trickle down.
Yeah, they have more money, you know, that they're able to give out to their, you know, employees, or the company's able to thrive a little bit better, so they don't have to, you know, lay people off, and then maybe that will help you on your next contract.
The biggest simple way I could describe it, Courtney, is inflation will stop rising. There will be less inflation, which means your money that you earn, even without getting more, will go further.
Yeah, and because people bring up like the gas prices and stuff, and obviously they were really high coming out of COVID, but we were in a pandemic, and they've come down since. So, again, I'm just asking the question because those are the questions that are in my mind.
But those are the important questions. Like, those are the things that people should ask, like, and want to see whatever candidate that gets in there should be talking about. How does my life become better financially, and how does my life become safer, right? Yeah. You know, those are the most important things, and those are the good questions that people should ask, but
are we all protected, I think, is a big part of...
Well, you did hear the at least when it comes to Donald Trump, him explain that over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think, but you could say...
Like border.
But, yeah, border control obviously is something that I'm very nervous about, but I'm not talking about border control right now. We were just talking about the money in your pocket when you brought that up.
Oh, I thought you meant protected, like safe, meaning
Well, I'm talking protected as a woman, but that's another conversation that we won't go down. I'm just saying, obviously, border control is very important. That's something that I really hope Trump gets back into control, gets back into order. I'm just talking about money in my pocket, and will I actually feel the effects?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. I'm just asking the way. This is not coming at any party.
Well, those are good. And it's always interesting to me. And I was having kind of this conversation with my niece yesterday about it. It, you know, is like, you know, where do you feel, because Trump was in office before, and I'm just asking this question, but where as a woman do you feel not protected when he was in office for 4 years, and now he's going to be back? Like, that's like, maybe those are the questions that I always, like, you know, ask about, like, what do you feel like is going to change that's not going to protect you, maybe with him, versus how you would have felt more protected with Kamala?
Yeah.
Or is it that you just feel like, you know, she's a woman, it would be great for a woman?
No, that's not, it's not a woman thing, just voting a woman into office. It's, I brought it up the other day and people got mad at me. So, you know, the text line and Twitch were all upset.
Oh, don't let those people get there.
No, I know,
you bring up
a woman's right to choose and people immediately get mad. And I was trying to talk about a D&C, something that a lot of my friends have had to go through, where you lose a baby while you are pregnant. And there are some states, and I understand, now it's in the states get to choose, and what your state decides to do. I'm protected in Massachusetts because I don't think anything's going to change there. But if you're in Florida right now, you're going to face some issues.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I just hope that Trump allows BC to win second half games.
Me
too. That's really what I would like to see from Preach. The next president.
Oh, Courtney, all you got to do is get through the weekend and it'll all be over with. We'll be on like Americans. We'll be on to the next shiny object.
Yep.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We will get to Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, next. The head coach of Boston College football, Bill O'Brien, is brought to you by Time Out Market, showcasing the best of Boston under one roof. Bill, good morning.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Fantastic.
Maybe this amazing weather will continue if we're lucky. It feels more like August than it feels like November, Bill.
It's been unbelievable. We've been able to be outside practicing, and it's been awesome. But I think on Saturday it's supposed to go back down to kind of normal November weather, but we'll see.
I failed in my moonshot. This was the game that I was going to try to get the drop kicks to play the alma mater at, and I've been unable to accomplish that. So I feel like, at least in this case, I need to admit my failings to you, and I apologize.
No, I think for us, like, in order to get the drop kick Murphys, we need to win some more ball games. So maybe if we can get this thing on a winning track.
Okay. All right.
We can get the dropkick Murphys. We got to keep up our end of the bargain.
Bill, when it comes to winning and, you know, four games to go in the season, I always am fascinated and want to talk to you about the mindset of the NFL versus the college player. What do you have to make sure you do to make sure you're keeping these guys focused and saying, all right, it is about winning, and not having them look at like, well, there's only four games left? How do you keep them engaged when there's really kind of no playoff hunt in college football, especially when you're in the position that you're in?
Yeah, I think it's I think about that a lot, Wiggy, and it's a great question. I think it's totally different in college, meaning that there's a lot of factors that go into why they continue. Like this week, I'm just telling you, like if you were at practice, you may see some mistakes that have to be cleaned up and things like that, but you would see a great energy, these guys flying around. You know, I think there's a lot of reasons for that, right? There's still a bowl game potential out there. There's still, a lot of these older guys on our team, they really want to play well because, some of them have a shot to play in the NFL, so they need to put good plays on tape. I think there's a spirit on this team. The leadership of this team is a good team. It's only the first year of a new program here relative to our staff being here. So, I think there's a lot, it's just different in the NFL. Once you get to, a record where you're basically out of it, it's just a different feeling. It's very difficult to get those guys in the National Football League to play week in and week out when, I experienced it last year. It was brutal. It was very tough.
Bill, obviously Syracuse is going to be a tough one this weekend, but what do you say to fans or media members that say, yeah, BC 4-4 on the season, but 1-3 in ACC play, can't get a win in conference?
Yeah, what I'd say is we have to learn how to play 60 minutes. I mean, I think that in the games that in the ACC games, look, close doesn't count. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that, this is a football team that has shown the ability to compete in this conference. And this is a team that also has shown that, we don't play 60 minutes. We've had 2-minute drives to win games. We've had 4th-and-1s to potentially tie a game. We just haven't been able to get it done, coaches and players. So, I think there's a bright future, Courtney. I like the recruiting. We recruit very well. We've got a great 25 class. I like the end of the season. I like where we're at right now as a team. Syracuse is a good football team. They're 6-2, but they're coming into our place. Our guys are fired up for it. We've got to play 60 minutes of football. That's what we continually preach, and hopefully we can get that done.
Billy, you said 60 minutes of football. Should it go to overtime, it'd be more. Do you have a win guy? Like, do you have someone on the sideline that's going to tell you which way to kick in overtime?
You can always count on Greg and Curtis to ask me those questions where I know where they're leading. I will say this though, we definitely have, you know, we take all of that into account. Like, so the game day staff meeting, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot is the weather and, you know, whether it's wind, like actually, you know, yesterday at practice was a very windy day. And so, like, relative to where we're, you know, headed, whether it's the passing game or, you know, our ability to punt into the wind or with the wind, you know, that's a big thing that we talk about pretty much, you know, every day and certainly on game day.
Billy, in all sincerity, you know quarterbacking and college and pro better than almost everybody. What have you seen from Drake May, the performance last week, obviously, and the losing effort? Is he ahead of where you thought he might be at this point?
Yeah, I really like Drake May, Curtis. I think he's the real deal. He's got, you know, great athletic ability. He can run. I think he's got to learn to slide, you know, go down and either duck out of bounds or slide, which I'm sure they're working on that with him. But he's got an ability to make off-schedule plays. He's got an ability to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball. He's got toughness. That play he made at the end of the game to, you know, to get it to Ramondre, you know, to send it to overtime, you know, was an unbelievable play. I mean, he kept the play alive for at least 6 seconds. And so that's very difficult to do in that league. Especially you got guys like Jeffrey Simmons rushing you and things like that. That's a hard thing to do. So, you know, I think the guy's got a really good future. He's a fun guy to watch, and the Patriots definitely have somebody to build around.
Bill, you were with Alabama as an OC, and it's been a while when you was a head coach in college football, Penn State, going back to 2012, 2013. What do you feel like you have to do differently now, or what have you learned this year being back in college football as a head coach, that some of the things that you feel like, all right, you might have to work on a little bit better, especially at the end of the year, but more so for moving forward?
Yeah, there's a lot to work on. Understanding that, you know, every play is a story unto itself, and you have to be very focused on every single play. We have to work hard on that, you know, every day. This, you know, the rest of this season, leading into next season, we have to work hard on that. We have to continue to teach these guys about football and the way that we want to play football. You know, whether it's a quarterback reading coverage or an offensive lineman anticipating a movement up front or a defensive secondary that needs to understand what's happening to them from a formation standpoint, a personnel standpoint, whatever it is. I could list 1,000 things that we have to do better as coaches and continue to do as coaches to get these guys to understand, you know, how we want to play, you know, the style we want to play with. I do believe, Wig, I really have a strong belief we're on the right track. You know, we'll see. That has to prove itself out. But I do have a strong belief that we're headed in the right direction, even though the wins haven't been there recently. You know, I like how this team approaches every day.
Speaking of Alabama, the guy who taught you the offense down there, Mac Jones, may get a start this weekend.
Can I tell you a quick story on that?
Yeah.
So when I went to Alabama, you know, Mac was gone. He was actually there getting ready for the draft. So I met him, and you know, he did come up to the office one day, and we talked for a little bit about the offense, but it was a very brief meeting. The guy that actually did a great job of you know, at least showing me the foundation of the offense when I first got there, because when you go to Alabama with Nick Saban, you don't run your offense. You don't bring your offense. You run the Alabama offense. And so was Bryce Young. Bryce Young was a very, very bright kid who brought his playbook into the first meeting, with the one-on-one meeting with us, with me, excuse me. And we talked about the offense for, you know, a long time. And so, you know, that's the story, because Bryce was the guy that really had at a young age in his career had a great understanding of that offense, and went on to win the Heisman Trophy that year, and then, you know, went on to be the number one pick, which I know the pros aren't going great for him right now, but I think Bryce Young, if given the right situation, given the right shot, you know, Bryce Young's a very, very bright guy and a really good quarterback.
See, very interesting. You cleared up one of those rumors that has been floating around forever. Mm-hmm. And I
yeah, there's for yeah, the there's a lot of
this
you know,
is for the clarity of history, Bill. This is for
a lot of BS that floats around, right?
Yeah,
a lot
there
of
is.
BS. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Now there's one other one that you could clear up. And just really just for the clarity of history.
Super Bowl 52?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, we'll save. I will save that one. For
okay.
I was just going to ask because I'm sure that you hear these kinds of things here and there. Who was it that, since we're talking about Mac Jones, that Mac reached out to outside of the family that caused a big issue? You can just give me initials if you want.
Yeah, I don't. You know what? I'll be very, very honest with you. Again, I always am. I have no idea what that is. I don't know that subject never came up with me with Mac. Who he reached out to? No, when I was at Alabama, that never came. I mean, maybe there was somebody there that wasn't at Alabama when I was there that had been somewhere else that he reached out to. I have no idea. He had, you know, he had a lot of relationships at Alabama with the coaching staff. That there were some, there were a lot of guys, Greg, when I went to Alabama that weren't there, you know, when I got there that had been there in 2020, right? A lot of those in the 2020 Alabama football team. Was arguably the greatest college football team of all time. And a lot of those guys, Starkeesian, Charles Huff, they got jobs, right? The success of that team, you know, they moved on to jobs. I would say five or six guys on that offensive staff, you know, Kyle Flood went to Texas with Starkeesian, Charles Huff got the Marshall job. So it was a brand new offensive staff, basically. When I went to Alabama, it was me, Doug Marrone, Robert Gillespie. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of BS that floats around, and you know, there was really not many people there on the offensive side of the ball that had worked with Mac when he was there.
All right, Bill. Well, good luck this week. We thank you for taking the time this morning, and we will talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football.
I had a good question for next week, too.
Well, save it. We'll still work next week.
Yeah, it'll still work next week because it's more about the Patriots and, you know, his thought on a specific thing that we here in New England do not like and what goes into said thing. Okay. So, you know, I think it's got plenty of life on it where it can ask it next week.
We still have Wiggy's lead left, we still have Courtney's lead left, and we still have my lead left, and we'll get to those next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.